This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
You guest hotline, our friend Chad Scott from Gridiron Now joining us here. Chad, good morning. How are you?
Good, John. How are you doing? You sound lively and energized.
A lot of coffee today.
Auburn's
whatever it
and
is.
Auburn's in a state of turmoil.
Wait a minute. What kind of cheap shot is that right off the bat, man?
It's like, Chad, one of those old radio soap operas back in the 30s. Will Marcia find true love? At Auburn right now, you know, there's a lot of different, we're dealing with a lot of stuff here. Is Gus Malzahn, why is he on the hot seat when he's got a top 10 team? And, if he were to be on the hot seat, who would replace him? Would Malzahn leave for Arkansas on his own volition and give the up yours to Auburn? If he were to leave, who would be the new athletic director? We're dealing with a lot of stuff, Chad. Can you get us to the bottom line, the essence of what's going on right now at Auburn, what the big, most important issues are at Auburn right now in your estimation?
Gus Malzahn is not meeting expectations. Gus Malzahn has every resource at his disposal to put a top 10 team on the field, and he keeps delivering 8-4, 7-5, and it's just not good enough. Auburn pays Gus Malzahn as the 11th highest paid coach in college football. Auburn hasn't been ranked in the top 20 the past several seasons. That top 10 ranking this year is fool's gold, as sure as anything. Gus Malzahn's not getting the job done, and it reflects poorly on him. It reflects poorly on Jay Jacobs, who's obviously going to be out as athletic director. And until that football program delivers the results that Auburn fans, I don't even want to say expect. Auburn fans have done their part. The Auburn administration has done its part. Gus Malzahn has resources, facilities, a big salary for his assistants, a recruiting budget. He's got everything anyone could ever ask for to have a top 10 team. And he keeps losing four games, five games a season.
Chad, I'm sure you've felt it and seen as well. The fan base is not happy. They see and talk about what you just stated. But if Gus Malzahn beats Georgia and Alabama, is everything going to be okay again?
Sure. But, that's a lot easier said than done. And let's remember this. You know, he hasn't done that for the past three seasons, beaten either of them. And those were bad Georgia teams, John, okay?
Yeah.
Auburn fans, and I'm one of them, we're not unrealistic. I don't expect Gus Malzahn to beat Alabama, to beat him every other year, to beat them regularly. Georgia, the past two or three seasons, bro, you got to win those games. I wrote on Gridiron Now last year. I'll write on Gridiron Now again this year. The Georgia game is much more important for Auburn than the Alabama game for a lot of reasons. Auburn has to recapture that Georgia rivalry before worrying about Alabama. And whatever the Alabama game sets up as possibilities is meaningless without beating Georgia. Okay, so when I look at Gus Malzahn and his failures, I'm not saying you've got to compete with Alabama. No, I'm saying you've got to beat a five-loss Georgia team last year. Mm-hmm. You've got to hang on to a 20-point victory at LSU. You've got to score more than 0 points in the second half against Clemson. Okay, Auburn fans are not unrealistic. We're not bloodthirsty, but we can see when something is clearly going wrong, and what is clearly going wrong under Gus Malzahn is he doesn't beat good teams anymore.
If I were to agree with you, and I really don't, to be honest, if I were to agree with you about this, there's two factors that I think come into play. Number one, is there somebody out there significantly that's an obvious upgrade on Gus Malzahn? And number two, even if you identify that Malzahn is the problem, the athletic directorship is in a state of flux, and they're not in a position, I wouldn't think, to be able to make an effective, efficient coaching search.
Let's handle the first one first. I don't think you need a great coach to lose four games at Auburn. Okay, so as far as replacing Gus Malzahn, big deal. I can pay 25 guys $5 million a year to lose 4 or 5 games a year at Auburn. So I'm not worried about replacing Gus Malzahn. There are a lot of great coaches out there. Auburn is a great job. The Tigers will have no problem finding the next guy. And if the standard is lose 4 games a year, like it is under Gus Malzahn, there are high school coaches who could do that. As far as the athletic director position, yes, that's prickly. Jay Jacobs, obviously, as an outgoing athletic director, is not going to be allowed to make either the decision to keep or replace Gus Malzahn, nor the decision of who to replace him with. So that decision will be made by the president with, obviously, a lot of input, should we say, from boosters and power brokers and those sort of folks. But you can't allow Jay Jacobs' situation to prevent you from making a move with the head football coach if one needs to be made. Auburn is not going to be able to hire a new athletic director in the time it would want to make a decision about Gus Malzahn and then replace him with someone, obviously. So that is going to have to be done by the president and some sort of, you know, internal and probably external search committee group of, you know, Auburn leaders and, you know, a blue panel, you know, committee of Auburn influencers. But Jay Jacobs' status cannot prevent Auburn from moving on Gus Malzahn if Auburn decides it needs to go in a new direction there.
Well, a couple of things here. Will Auburn feel like they need to move in a new direction, or will Gus Malzahn feel like he needs to move in a new direction? Some talk about possibly if Brett Bielema is out in Fayetteville, Malzahn goes back to Arkansas. If that does, if any of these scenarios happen, Auburn's also going to be in a race with Florida, probably Tennessee, Texas A&M, Arkansas. If they make, you know, a lot of other schools, not only in this conference but in the nation, are going to be going after the top flight candidates. Yeah. And with Auburn not having a solid AD and a president that's not really talking a lot, to me, that makes it more difficult, too.
It doesn't help. But, again, I fall back on what Auburn is. And you're right, Florida, Tennessee, Texas A&M, probably Nebraska. You know, you can keep going down the line. Those are great positions. But Auburn's a great position, too. And, I that coming from that belief is why I just don't worry that Auburn is going to end up hiring the, you know, safeties coach at Texas Tech because they couldn't find anyone else to coach the team. There is a lot of competition in the marketplace. There are a lot of great jobs open, but Auburn's a great job too. And the uncertainty athletic director doesn't help, but I still think, you know, if you got that giant yellow legal pad out, put pros on one side, cons on the other side to the Auburn job, the pros far outweigh the cons. And you know, people, to me, the prospect of hiring a new football coach, whether you're Auburn or Texas A&M or Tennessee or Florida, it's just not as scary to me as a lot of people make it out to be. I know no one likes change and consistency is good, but again, here's what I come back to. How hard is it to find someone to lose 4 games a year at Auburn? Not very. And if the next guy does the same thing, well, then just find the next guy. You know, we're not talking about getting married here.
Sure.
We're talking about finding a football coach. And if it doesn't work after 2 years, as Florida found out, yeah, get the next guy.
No doubt, Auburn has a lot of positives and things that would attract coaches. One thing, though, I do wonder about, there had been reports, Auburn-based websites, media members here in the state of Alabama, talking about outside influences, you know, telling Malzahn who to hire, what type of offense to run, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
If that's true, is Auburn willing to hand the keys over to a guy and say, you're running the show and nobody's messing with you?
You know, one of the I'm struggling for the word. Whether it was the smartest or one, let's just say this. Let's make it easy. One of the best things about hiring Nick Saban at Alabama was he got rid of that nonsense. Okay, because those are the same things you heard out of Tuscaloosa before they hired Nick Saban. But Nick Saban had the force of personality to look up across his desk and give, you know, the look and say, get the hell out of my office. I'm running this team. And everybody, all those powerful boosters, all those meddlers, all those guys who wanted their fingers in the pie, They got in line right quick. And Auburn is going to need to hire someone for both the athletic director position and head coach who's got the clout to do that. I'm writing about candidates for the Auburn athletic director position, and that is at the top of the list. You know, that ability to be political and say no, thank you. To say no forcefully and thank you nicely. Because Auburn does have too many cooks in the kitchen, both with the football program and the athletic department, and they need to hire, and you're not going to hire Nick Saban, I get that, but someone of a confidence and a stature and a maturity and a competency who can look at those people who want to have some say-so and tell them, no, I'm running this thing, me.
Chad Scott, GridironNow.com. You were at Auburn, Texas A&M last weekend in College Station, right? What's the temperature for Kevin Sumlin out there?
Dead fish. You know, Texas A&M fans, similar to Auburn fans, are not bloodthirsty. This is not a pitchforks at the president's mansion sort of situation. But it's dead. You know, there's no energy. There's no optimism. It is not quite as foregone a conclusion as Butch Jones at Tennessee. But I think everyone looks at that situation and says, you know, after this is the sixth year now, Kevin Sumlin's probably going to lose five games for the fourth year in a row. This isn't going anywhere. This is not about being nasty or we dislike this guy. Like it was with Jim McElwain at Florida. It's just simply a matter of you've had your chance, we expect better, and we're moving on.
Jimbo Fisher out there? Plausible?
Yes. Because, and I just had a story published at GridironNow.com with right before I talked to you guys about Jimbo Fisher, because his name has surfaced. At Texas A&M. Here's what Texas A&M thinks of its job. The lead columnist for the Austin American-Statesman, Kirk Bowles, someone you may or may not be familiar with, been that job for decades. He's far from a rabble-rouser. He's not someone who's trying to write to get on the message boards. His three candidates for Texas A&M are Chris Peterson at Washington, Jimbo Fisher, and Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech. That's what they think of that job. That's how prestigious they think that job is, and I think they're right. They've got every resource imaginable to win national championships. Texas A&M, to me, is a lot like Clemson before Dabo Swinney. Huge stadium, good facilities, ton of fans, ton of passion, ton of resources, just missing the head chef who can stir that recipe together and make you know, duck a l'orange or whatever you want. Texas A&M doesn't lack for anything, and its resources are greater than Florida State. And candidly, you know, living here in Florida, you know, being around a lot of Florida State fans, Jimbo Fisher's act is tiring. No one at Florida State wants Jimbo Fisher to leave, but no one would be crying in their soup if he did. That's one of those situations that after 8-9 years, maybe it's just time for a fresh start for everyone. And I can promise you this, if Texas A&M decides it wants to make a run at Florida State's Jimbo Fisher, Seminole fans should take that threat every bit as seriously, if not more so, than LSU's overtures toward him the past couple of years. That is, in my opinion, a sleeping giant that would not take much to awaken.
I agree. Yeah, I'm looking right now, and an article is posted at GridironNow.com. We love the website, and, Chad, we always love a chance to get your insights into what's going on in college football. Thanks a bunch.
My pleasure, John. Barry, have a nice day, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Okay?
Sounds good. Great stuff. Chad Scott, GridironNow. Man, always interesting. And we